Ryan, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for August 11th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and joining me in cyberspace is my buddy Jim Allen. What's happening? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I hope you're well. You're not the caffeine addict like I am, but I'm well caffeinated and ready to go.
We're taping here on Sunday morning in Japan, and no, I haven't had any caffeine. In fact,
wow, you're just naturally bubbly.
I'm high on life. I'm high on baseball. I got Darvish on TV and with the volume off and watching him and I got your face on my screen. So why shouldn't I be happy?
You need a screensaver.
I need a lifesaver. Anyway,
I haven't seen those sold in Japan.
We got to bring them over. All right, I'd like to take a second and announce a live cyber JBW event that you and I are going to do. Jim and I, with the assistance of Michael Westbay as moderator, will be doing the show live on August 24th. And we're inviting you to join us via cyberspace. So if you have Google Hangouts or you have a Google account or you can watch on YouTube, join us in the JBW Live Cuts event that's going to start at 9 a.m. on Sunday in Japan on August 24th. And that time would be 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday night in the States. So we'd love to have you join. You can do so easily if you have Google Hangouts on your computer or on your mobile device, or you can watch on YouTube, like I said. And the Hangouts on-air page on Google will have a link in the coming days, so please check it out and join us for that.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
It's going to be fun. Going live, coming to you live.
On Sunday
in Japan. All right, but meanwhile, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Mauro Gomez of the Hanshin Tigers, and we're going to discuss the PL and CL clash over the interleague schedule and more. So let's get started.
We ring the bases!
Speaking of more, trivia from John this week.
And it's very timely, but very difficult. But I'm sure, did you work yesterday? That's my first question.
I work 365 days a year, man.
Oh, man, he's never broken. He's always working. All right.
Oh, goodness me. We definitely got off on the wrong foot this morning. Okay, okay, lay it on me, man.
All right. The blistering, hot-hitting Yakult Swallows have reached double digits in hits as a team in 10 consecutive games, setting a club record or extending. They set the mark with 8. They've extended it to 9 and now 10.
Correct.
What is the MPB record for consecutive double digits in hits for a team? And the reason I asked you if you worked yesterday is because probably if you worked yesterday, you might have looked it up or heard it.
I was curious about it, but there were other things going on at work and the Swallows game was an afterthought, basically. So while I am I'm very interested in the question, I do not have a clue. The record, let's see. I'm going to guess this is a record that probably goes to maybe 1978 in that era. Early 80s?
Before that.
Okay. So a lot of hits. Okay, that's feasible too, because Japanese baseball didn't used to have a lot of strikeouts, especially in the 50s, but they didn't have a lot of hits either. How about 1960?
Before that.
Wow. I was going to guess the 1960 Taiyo Whales. 1956 Nishitetsu Lions?
No, I'm going to go ahead and give you the answer.
Go ahead, give it to me.
The year is 1950.
Oh, 50 and the Shochiku Robins.
Probably. That's correct. Shochiku Robins, and the number is 15 consecutive games.
Okay, I don't know why I didn't think 1950, because that's a great question. And it's a great question for me because I love the history. But yeah, 1950, two things happened in 1950, which I guess some people know and some people don't. And so in 1948, MLB changed its strike zone rules. And they made the strike zone smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happened in 1949. And in 1949, also, the baseballs were getting a little better in Japan. Mm-hmm. Right after during the war, they were like beanbags. And before the war, and after the war, they were getting a little bit better. The quality was a little better. And then in 1950, they had expansion, and they went from 8 teams to, I'm going to say, 15. And so there was a lot of guys who were not used to pitching at that level.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the teams were very, very weak. So, and the Shochiku Robins were the Central League champions in the first Central League season. And, they put up some outrageous numbers, although actually people who look would see that the offensive levels actually started in 1949. 1950 is famous.
Right. So, you said the MLB changed the ball. Did you mean NPB?
No, not changed the ball. The MLB changed its strikeout.
It changed the strike zone. Okay.
Right. They changed the official definition of the strike zone in, I believe, 1948, and Japan adopted that in 1949.
Gotcha.
They do, usually a year late. And that was the year when the offensive explosion occurred, not 1950, as my buddy Ralph Pierce had asserted once. So
okay. All right. So, yeah, that franchise, the Shochiku Robins, has now become basically the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars.
Yeah, they went through a lot of evolutions,
a lot of changes,
to get there.
Yeah, but that's the same.
There's at least two different mergers. They had at least three different teams made up the current Bay Stars. So, okay.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. So this past week, I went out to Jingu Stadium and got a chance to meet and talk to Mauro. I asked him how to say his name, and he said, yeah, Mauro. He can say it really fast and roll his tongue. I couldn't do it as well, but you'll hear in the interview. I tried it, and you'll hear him laugh as soon as I try.
Well, that's because you're doing it like Billy Crystal.
You look marvelous. All right.
And this time it works.
All right. All right. So Mauro is the first year import with the Tigers, obviously, and he's formerly of the Boston Red Sox and Toronto Blue Jays. And I think he spent a little bit of time with the Washington Nationals. So he's hitting .294, 18 home runs, 24 doubles, and 80 RBIs. And he's only second to Brad Eldred in the RBI, so he might be able to overtake him for that lead at the end of the season. He's hitting .409. These are some interesting numbers that I looked up. He's hitting .409 at Yokohama Stadium, Hitters Park, .401 at Jingu, Hitters Park, and .409 at Tokyo Dome, which is not bad. And he's hitting .301 at Koshien. So, I mean, he's been pretty consistent from the start. And the first...
Which begs the question, what's he hitting at Nagoya and Hiroshima?
Yeah, maybe not so much. Not so much. But those numbers were the ones that stood out, so those are the ones I had there. Yeah, he's playing enough defense at first base so that it's not a big issue. He doesn't run all that well, but he's not killing them. And he's one of the big reasons why the Giants and the Tigers are going to be locked in, and the Carp are going to be locked in this pennant race.
And the Dragons.
I still don't really see the Dragons as a team that's threatening, but they're there. They're certainly hanging around, but they're the .500 team that won't go away. They're annoying.
Yeah. I asked some of the Dragons players the other day, and it's like, you're playing well. It's like, well, what games have you seen?
Yeah. Define well, because winning doesn't always mean we played well. But yeah. But anyway, I got to sit down with Mauro and chat, so let's take and listen to the interview. All right. We are pleased to be with Mauro Gomez this week. Thank you very much for sitting down with us.
Hi. Thank you.
All right. So you played in the major leagues briefly. What was your favorite moment in the major leagues for you?
Every moment in major league, I mean, I say first day, like, the view, I was excited, call my family and tell them, I'm playing in a big league today. So I think that was my favorite moment.
Okay.
That was, was so happy.
Yeah. All right, great. Now you're here in Japan this year, and you had a really good start. What did Matt Merton, I know you guys must be exchanging information a lot, but what advice did he give you that's really helped you?
I mean, I'm always ask him, because he played here for, like, this is the fifth year for him.
Right.
So I always ask him, about the pitcher, how they like to throw, like count, 2-2, mm-hmm. and he give me information, so I try to get it to the play, and I think that helped me a lot, because I got him like next to me, and like I say, I always ask him, and I always the information he gave it to me, I always try to go to the plate with that information and make an adjustment.
Right. And he's a really good hitter, too.
Yeah.
Good information.
Yep. Yeah, he's a very good hitter.
All right. So you're the one who takes the information to the plate, and you're the one up there in the batter's box. How were you able to get off to such a fast start?
You know, I think try to get a good pitch, you know. I think that's one of the keys. I have a good year right now because, you know, they're smart, Japanese pitchers. They know how to pitch, you know. Like, you know, you go to the plate and they try to strike you out for first pitch, you know. Like, they try to throw you a slider, strike ball, you know, make you chase. So I try to, you know, get it elevate, get it to, you know, try to be a strike and see the ball and hit it. So I think that's one of my key right now. Like I said, just try to, you know, strike, get a strike, and see the ball and hit it.
Now, how much is the advantage? Because when you came, they didn't get the chance to see you in the spring season game. So how much is the advantage is that they don't know what you're strong against?
I mean, you know, when I get here late, you know, because my wife have a baby.
Right.
So after that, you know, after that she born, my baby born, she got a little problem, you know, and a little sick.
Right.
And I stay more time in Dominican because of that. So I can lay, you know, and I try to, you know, impress, you know, like
exactly.
first year here, you know. So I got knee problem, my knees hurt, so I lose most of the spring training. Like last 2 weeks, start hitting and play. So last 2 weeks
before the season,
exactly. I try to, you know, impress, like, you know, oh, I got a hit, I got, you know, they need to know who I am. So, you know, I was swinging bad pitch, strikeout. Yeah, so I don't have a good sprint training, you know. Like, last 2 weeks wasn't good. But when soon season start, I say, okay, relax. Just try to get a good pitch and, you know, make contact. And, you know, I'm trying to do that, like, all year. And helped me a lot.
Yeah, now I noticed right away in that first series that I saw you play in the Tokyo Dome against the Giants that you were really good at hitting pitches inside. And I'm sure the pitchers started to adjust to you, but then you had a little bit of a drop-off. So what happened during that drop-off, and how did you get back on track?
Like I said, I started make good contact, like base hit and all that, you know, not like drive the ball, you know, like home run. So I think it's part of the, like, I don't play too much in spring training, you know. So I think my swing wasn't, like, you know, ready.
Right.
But, you know, after, like, opening day, you know, a couple games, play, and then I think my swing, you know, get ready, like used to be, you know. So I start driving the ball, you know, I hit a home run, and then my swing get ready, like, you know, can drive the ball, get it up the eye, and all that stuff. Yep.
And then maybe it was just before or right during Interleague that you had a little bit of a slump?
Yeah.
What happened?
You know as baseball is, you know, we always, it's like a roller coaster, you know?
Yes.
up and down, you know?
Yeah.
So I know that, you know, every year it's happened to, you know, to me. Have a like moment, like, you know, drop down my average and, you know, but just keep working, you know, work hard. I know I can hit and trust my swing.
Right.
So I was relaxed. I know I'm, you know, I'm going to be normal again. And like I said, just keep working in the cage and working in my swing.
Yeah. Now, what kind of adjustments did you notice the Japanese pitchers making against you?
I think what I see, like, last 2 weeks, they start throwing me fastball in and slider away. So, you know, I'm thinking about that, you know, so I'm trying to make adjustment of that, you know, be right. Ready for inside pitch and just react with the sliders.
Right. Okay. Now, earlier this season, I think it was in April, you guys played here at Jingu, and you guys had a crazy series with the Swallows where all the games were very high scoring, and then last night you had a game that was 20-11. What's going on here at Jingu?
That's a lot of runs right there.
You're telling me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is this part, you know, I bet you every hitter wants to play here, you know. Yeah, it's, you know, small, and winds blow out, you know. So I bet you, like I say, every hitter wants to play here. So, you know, I think we made the adjustment last night and tried to get a good pitch and bat the ball. So everybody, you know, everybody does his job yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in that kind of game, how do you concentrate?
I mean, it's a little tough, you know, like long innings.
Long.
Yeah, and other stuff, but, you know, like I say, you got to be ready for your bat, you know, try to do your job, and that's what we do yesterday.
Now, the Swallows are scoring the most runs in Japan. What is your mindset as, you know, coming in when you're playing against this team? You guys think about just trying to score as much?
You know, when we come here, we just, you know, we try to score a lot of runs because, you know, they're not the stadium they play here, you know. So we start, you know, we think, you know, make an adjustment, try to, you know, get a good pitch and score more runs as possible because here you never know, you know.
Yeah, I know that, especially after last night.
Yep.
All right, you've seen all the teams in the Central League. You got the Giants and the Carp and the Dragons and obviously the Swallows and the Bay Stars. How good are the Tigers?
I think, you know, we have a pretty good team, you know. We got offense and we got good pitching, you know. We need to, you know, go out there, you know, play hard and, you know, try to win. There's, you know, Giants have a good team too. Carp, you know, just like I say, I know, you know, I put my money on my team, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good pitching, so I think we can make it to the final.
Well, yeah, I noticed it's really hard to get a win in the Central League. I mean, last night, two of the games went extra innings, and then this game was just a slugfest all night long.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we got good offense in, you know, this league. There's, you know, very good hitters here. So, like I said, you know, we just, Tigers, my team, you know, we just need go out there, you know, play hard and try to get a win.
All right, so you're right behind the Giants and the Carp are right there. How do you guys finish this season? How do you win? How do you win the championship? I know it's still early.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And I know you have to win some games. Do you feel like you have to beat those top teams?
Yeah,
how do you guys
exactly.
Go about
yeah,
it?
I mean, you know, I think we got, you know, a couple of series with Carp and Giants, so those series gonna be, you know, good for us. Just try to win, you know, play hard, and like I say, I know we can do it. We have a pretty good offense and pitching, good pitching. So I think we can do it. We can make it.
Now, if this team gets into the postseason, is it built for the postseason? I mean, your ace hasn't really pitched all that well. Nomi hasn't pitched great. Is this a good postseason team as well?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, we got a Messenger, you know, we got Nomi, Fujinami, Iwata. Yeah, Iwata. So, I mean, like I say, you know, if we, you know, there's come, you know, like pitching good, you know, and our offense, I think, you know, we can do it. We can do it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck. I'll be watching. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks again, Mauro, and really appreciate it. And we sat down, and after the interview, he said, you know, I really want to get my English, you know, perfect. And he started asking me about some of the other players like Tony Blanco and other guys I've interviewed who are Latin players and how their English was and how their English compared. I'm like, yeah, man, you're doing fine. You know, you did okay. He had a couple of places in there where I wasn't sure if he was understanding. So I kind of led the witness with my questions. But what caught your ear?
You mean other than you would have been in contempt of court?
Well, no, I would have been in contempt. They would just say the opposing lawyer would have objected. He's leading the witness.
That's right. Well, you can lead a witness, but you can't make them talk.
Oh.
Okay. I really enjoyed it. I always loved talking with Mauro. And so and we covered many of these same issues when I spoke with him in April. Because he had set a Hanshin Tigers record for number of consecutive games to start the season on base. He broke the record of his manager, Yuta Kawada.
Right.
And the whole story is, rewind this a little bit. Before the season started, all the talk about the Tigers was, even before camp, was the Tigers management is upset. And you have to understand, this is beat writers with nothing to write about, and the manager gives them a little throwaway comment about, we don't know what's going on with Gomez. He's going to be here late because of a baby, and it's really ruining our plans. You know, like 30 seconds,
yeah.
And it becomes War and Peace.
Yep. Yeah.
in the papers. And every day it's sort of like, once they start this story about what's wrong with Gomez because he's not coming to camp on time, they've got to have a daily supplement.
Right.
Anyway, and then
his baby
got sick and he's going to be later. And it's like, oh my God, he's going to ruin the season, you know, and especially, this is relevant for the Hanshin Tigers because their management is very peculiar. They do have a front office, but typically the Tigers front office is run by the public opinion which is led by their main paper, the Daily Sports in Osaka.
Mm-hmm.
When the Daily Sports tells them they need a new manager, they start thinking around, hey, maybe we need a new manager. So they were
– see, that should be held in contempt.
Okay.
For several reasons.
So you had to wonder whether they were setting him up to be the fall guy. Anything that goes wrong this year is going to be Gomez's fault. So that was kind of interesting. And then he came out – and he just went off to a tear. He did, as he said, and he told me in April that being in camp really helped him. Being in this, he finished spring training with the minor league team,
mm-hmm.
where there was very little pressure and very probably playing on dirt fields.
Mm-hmm.
And not turf.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And he said basically being with the minor league team where all he did was swing a lot. I've heard this story three times this year. They got a lot of chance to swing the bat and catch up. And so he did that, and it helped him make the adjustments and so on. Now, the other thing that really caught my attention was Matt Merton. And this is also kind of another reference that, you know, he talked about Merton helping him with pitches and how they throw, you know, what do they throw in these counts and so on and so forth, and how he made his adjustments. And I thought his description of his adjustments was really interesting because we always ask players, what adjustments are you going to make? Are you making? And they'll say many or this and that or, you know, specifically, I moved my front foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you get the feeling that many players treat their batting adjustments like trade secrets.
Right. Which I understand, you don't want to give too much away.
Right. And I think other people know that they're very complicated and they don't want to make them sound easier than they are, or they're difficult to simplify. So in this case, it was nice and specific in one case, bingo, in and out. You got to love that as a writer.
Yeah.
The other thing was that Matt Merton, I have to think that he said that he was pressing and trying to impress in spring training. And that rang a bell for me because at the end of Matt Merton's first season here, you know, the Tigers were in the playoffs and he and I sat in the Tigers dugout on the practice day before the start of the Climax series, and he was talking about his season. And he said one thing he would have done differently was in spring training to have some BPs where he was stinging the ball. He was trying to hit the ball hard and not trying to work on something, because he went into camp thinking, if I work on my stuff, if I work on my hitting, I'll be a better hitter, which is his approach.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was the coaches fretted because when he was trying to work on things that were difficult, he wasn't succeeding a lot.
Right.
And they were fretting, thinking this guy can't hit in Japan.
You know, it's called practice for a reason, peeps.
Well, but for first year foreigners, it's also called show us what you got. And I'm guessing Matt might have told him, you know, you gotta show him a little bit to keep them from, you know, Matt probably didn't say, you know, jumping on your back or something, but or some other color, use some other colorful language, but. Yeah, and so I do recall that, and I wouldn't be surprised. I'll have to ask Matt, and he might deny it, but I think he probably did relay that story to him, and he might have overdone it. I've heard most players work hard not to overdo it, but it is hard not to in Japan, and especially in Gomez's case where he was late.
Yeah,
and conscious about that, and it is hard when you don't. You know, sometimes that cultural divide can make you feel, put you on the wrong side of good judgment.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing that stood out for me. I mean, you stand next to Gomez, and I'm 6 feet tall. I think he's about 6'1". But he's about 6'1" and 230. So he's really stocky. He's really well built. So I would think when you come over here, yeah, the first thing you want to do is show. And this is the thing that impressed me that stuck out in the interview for me. When he got here, he wanted to impress because he had been late. He finally was able to report, and he wanted to show that everybody, including teammates, obviously, that they have gotten a player. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he was pressing and all that stuff. But, you know, you look at him and you look at his swing, and that first series, and this was the thing for me in that first series that I saw him play at Tokyo Dome, and they tried to bust him in with some hard stuff, and he just turned on everything. And I thought, okay, well, this guy is really good on the inside, on the inner half. Anything middle in, he's gonna be all over it. So I think I'm gonna see a lot of guys pitching him away, and sooner rather than later. As he said in the interview, the pitchers here are very smart. He said they started to try to get him out going away, and he did go through a little bit of a slump, just a short one. I think it was just before Interleague and partly into Interleague. And, you know, he snapped out of it because he stopped swinging at the pitches off the plate and away, and he made them throw the ball over the plate. And I saw his home runs kind of went up, his home runs and his power numbers went up to center field. And I don't think he hits much to left field. I'm sorry, to right field. But he pulled a lot of stuff, and he hit some stuff to center, and those numbers started to go up. So just like he said, the ups and downs of the season, yeah, but I think pitchers were pitching him differently, and I think their approaches always change. And like you said, the other thing that impresses me about Matt Merton, not only as a hitter and as a teammate, is the way he must be helping him, Maoto, every day. And that's why Maoto has been successful and been able to make these adjustments constantly. It's because he's got a guy like Matt Merton, and let's not take away anything from Tom O'Malley, because he played with him for a long time too. And it's great to have these resources when you're a new hitter or a player coming over here in a new, like you said, in a new culture. It's the culture of baseball that's different, not so much the baseball itself.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't seen the Tigers for a while, and thus I haven't talked to Tom O'Malley in a while. And I know some of the things he said, but, this is a big hitter's year, and it's hard to think that just the way the weather and the confluence of the quality of the pitching in the league and this and that, that's not a big part of it, because as Matt said, last year when they changed the ball and didn't tell anybody, said like, you know, this ain't guys hitting. This ain't all about guys making adjustments. This is because everybody's doing it. It's across the board. So there's something going on I don't quite understand about this season in the Central League that is causing all the runs. I don't think it's all, you know, all these guys can really hit. I don't know what it is. Probably the weather is probably the best, the best thing. It's been particularly hot this year.
That's the easiest thing to point to. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's the most likely. The most likely cause. So that, yes, he's Tom talked about specific things, and I would say that when Tom was their batting coach in 2002 and 2003, the hitters were very successful. The Tigers had a very, very good offense, although it's hard to give Tom credit for, you know, guys like Kanemoto and Akahoshi.
But, guys like that always make you a better coach. Don't you know that?
indeed. So
just get out of their way.
Well,
I'm coaching.
Yeah, I think he's good at that, though. I think
I'm helping.
That might be his best quality as a coach, is that when people are doing the right thing, he says, yeah, keep at it, baby.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think obviously with the influence that he has there, it has been easier. It has been an adjustment that's probably been greased a little bit by having some really good resources there in the system, in the organization. But also, he's a hardworking guy, you can see. And I don't think it's a surprise that we have that kind of success from him. And it's just been, I think the whole thing, I mean, for me, I didn't pick the Tigers to finish in the playoffs, and I didn't think they'd be this high, and they'd be running, what, a half game now?
Half a game, correct.
Half a game going into Sunday's games behind the Giants, and it's all exciting. It all makes for a great pennant race, and we'll have a really good September, and it's fun. But it's a surprise for me, and I'll be watching every game every night. I can't wait to watch all the games.
I know. What is this? I know this. The Central League has become the Pacific League this year.
Yeah.
And vice versa. You know. Yeah, really confounding.
Yeah. So the other thing I did, talk to Tom O'Malley before I talked to Mauro.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, hey, look, I'll tell you what I told you before, is that Gomez is able to take the information that he receives and implement it right away. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, and then what I said to Mauro, I said, look, you're the one who goes up there to the batter's box with the information, but that's not always what happens, and you've still got to make adjustments during an at-bat. And I'll try to watch and see, but I'm just really impressed with how he goes about trying to, like you said, make the pitchers get the ball in the strike zone, make them get the ball up. You see he's very disciplined.
Yeah, I love that expression, because it's a mark of somebody. Every hitter is different, and I don't want to say, you know, he's a step above because he talks like this, but his thinking is something that let's put it this way, I can understand what he's saying. And not that I don't understand what other hitters are saying. I'm not a hitter. And sometimes every hitter's approach is unique and individual. But when he says, I can make them elevate the ball, you know, that's a perfect approach for a hitter, as opposed to the guy who says, I'm looking for this pitch.
I'm looking for my pitch, yeah.
No, he's expressing the idea that he has control. He has some element of control over the pitches that come to the plate, which is absolute. Batters can do this, and people, you know, unless the guy's painting the corners and throwing his locations and with really good stuff, batters can influence the pitches that they get. And this is something that is so often lost. Yeah. And I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful expression.
Yeah. I'm also surprised at the Tigers, because probably I expected at least maybe one of the Arai brothers to be contributing at this point, and maybe they're doing so well because neither one of them is in the lineup regularly. I don't know, but I got this sense of quiet confidence with the Tigers. You know, before the season, I think they were cautiously optimistic, and now they're quietly confident. I've seen that change come over them.
Well, we talked about the Tigers a month or so ago in reference to something or other. And one of the things that I've seen is Fugurome being Fugurome.
Yeah.
He's coming back to almost the player he was in his prime.
Yeah, I saw him hit an off-speed pitch for a home run.
Of course, you know, everybody gets gets those things a little bit, you know, experience is going to help you at times, but yes, he's been playing well. He's been loose. The fact that Nishioka has been a zero this year is of no surprise or concern. Uemoto has been up and down, but he's been a good player, and they just move on.
Yeah. I wouldn't say Nishioka is a forgotten man, but I think he's on the outside looking at the moment with his injury situation. And I don't know that when he comes back, because he did come back shortly a few weeks ago, but he
was gone
relegated
3 days later,
hitter. And then he was gone again because he wasn't fully healed. And I think they realize they're doing okay without him anyway. So let him get fully healed and then come back.
No, they're a good package, and I think they're a really their team. I compared to other teams that I don't really have a handle on the Chunichi Dragons.
They don't have a handle on themselves. So
well, okay.
I think that's you're forgiven.
But the Tigers I see as a really intriguing, interesting team. Of course, you know I'm a fan of the Carp. I still love the Giants' quality. If Hara can ever, one day Hara will wake up, probably about, he'll be on his deathbed and he'll say, how come I just couldn't figure out one guy who could play second base and just let him play?
Yeah, one day, on his deathbed. Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of years of mismanaging before that comes.
Oh, that sounds like another podcast, baby.
All right. Well, obviously, even though the Tigers ace, Atsushi Nomi yesterday finally broke his personal 6-game losing streak, they're doing it without an ace, right?
Yeah, and he did it. And Randy Messenger, I believe, he doesn't have much of a record either. He's got a lot of wins and a lot of losses. And
right.
Nomi has pitched well, and they've lost, and he's pitched, and then he's thrown gas on the fire a couple of times. So,
yeah, yes, he has.
But often, and I say that, he's pitched really well, and they've thought, well, we've got a 4-run lead in the 9th inning. Let's keep Nomi out there to throw in another 20 pitches, and then before you knew it, let's get the mop up, guys, because this game's out of control.
Yeah, let him throw another 20 pitches, and then the next 10 pitches, the game was over.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, you mentioned this phrase, throwing gas on the fire, and I want to segue into talking about the offenses in the Central League, which you touched upon a little while ago, and we talked about the crazy hitting Swallows and what they were doing, and obviously that was our trivia question, and I had a different trivia question, but I changed it because of the Swallows, and they've just been on another world here, and the consecutive games with double digits and hits, all the runs. I was thinking that if you were a pitcher with the Swallows in there, I think they're 6-2 in August here as they go into games on Sunday. They're not looking like a last place team in terms of wins and losses, but they're pitching. Yeah, I mean, if you're hitting the way they're hitting, you should be on a winning streak,
Well, that's true. Yeah, if you're scoring basically 8 or 9 runs a game, you should be winning a few games.
So yeah, a few.
If you had normal pitching, even in Jingu, 8 or 9 runs a game, you should have a record like 8-2. You should be an 800 team.
Right.
But.
Well, if you remember back in April, the Tigers and the Swallows had this crazy series and they scored 50 something runs. I don't remember the total.
Yeah, those were the dry ball games.
Yeah. And then they did mention that maybe the balls were a little bouncier than they should be. But then they come back and they top that series with this latest series. They had 61 runs combined for it. The Swallows scored 31 and the Tigers scored 30. And the Swallows won 2 out of 3 games.
Well, and here's the thing. And what's overlooked, of course, both of these teams, I know Matt Merton came away from that first series against Yakult in May. Or end of April, maybe, with like 48 RBIs. I think he might have had 48 RBIs in May.
Yeah.
And about 15 or 16 of those came in that one series. Or I'm going to say I'm exaggerating. I think he had one game where he had 9.
Man, oh
or
man.
7 or something. It was outrageous. So, but that being said, the Tigers, the Swallows, have scored the most runs in Japan, which means they've scored the most runs in the Central League, which is not a surprise because you play in Jingu, which means their offense is probably not worse than average. I'm not kidding when I say that. I'm not joking at all.
Probably not worse than average.
If you're going to have a good offense to playing in Jingu, if you have a quality offense, you have to outscore the league. Same with Yokohama.
Right.
You have to be the best. You have to outscore the league by far if you really have a good offense in those parks. But the Tigers, who play in the second worst pitcher's park in the Central League, are second in offense.
Yeah.
And let's stop talking about the Swallows hitters and let's start talking about the Tigers. Yeah. I think the Tigers have the best offense in Japan.
Yeah.
Or at least in the Central League.
Yes, but they're not setting records.
Yeah, they're not setting records because if
they're not sexy.
Yeah, they're not sexy, but they'd have six. They'd probably have about 550 or 560 runs at this point if they played all their home games at Jingu.
Yeah. And they're crazy. They're going nuts. They're scoring a lot of runs. They're looking good, but they're being outscored. You know, their run differential is -3, and of course the Yakult scoring 499 runs so far to lead Japan, they're outscored only by 13 runs. So they really shouldn't be 14 games under 500. Even
no, they shouldn't. I mean, if you went by run ratio, and I prefer run ratio to run differential because for a variety of reasons, in that it's more about context than it is about difference.
Right.
So if you went just on run ratio, the Giants would be in fourth place. It would be.
Yes, because they're being outscored by 3 runs as well, or by 4 runs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they won a lot of these one-run games in Interleague.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first-place team would go Dragons, Carp, Tigers, Giants, Swallows, and Bay Stars.
Yeah, isn't that weird? The fourth-place team is outscoring opponents by 6, and the first-place team is being outscored by 4.
But you know what? It's a tight pennant race. It's a tight pennant race, and it's going to be so much fun. I'm just really – I guess it's the Pacific League is who's going to finish third.
Yeah. That's
so Central League.
That's so Central League. It's so Central. One more thing about the double-digit games hitting streak by the Swallows. The first 8 games when they did it, they had a total of 115 hits. And they had a high of 16 in one game twice, and their low was 10, was 12. So this
they set a new low yesterday.
Yeah. So
10.
When they only got to 10 yesterday or on Saturday, that was a low for the streak. But they extended that streak. So we'll see if they can get to the 15 of the Shochiku Robins and see how close they get. In the Pacific League, SoftBank is obviously starting to tear things up and.
Yeah,
I take back all the bad things I said about SoftBank. Although it's only up by 4 games.
What bad things did you say about SoftBank?
That I overrated. Well, I did. I still think I overrated the pitching because they don't know what to do. They've got Otonati, this guy with the calcification of his ligaments or whatever.
Of his yellow ligament. Wow.
The disease.
That's like having a yellow streak up your back, but we all have yellow.
that's just country mean. he wins a game and then they send him back to the farm because they're gonna just rotate maybe 7 or 8 starting pitchers to figure out. I think they're getting ready for the postseason and to try to figure out who they're going to start, and they want guys to step up. I mean, you know, a guy wins a game and gets sent down. I mean, he wins 2 in a row and he gets sent down to the farm. But you know, they're number 1 in stolen bases. They're number 1 in hitting batting average as a team at .289. Their run differential is incredible. The last time I looked, it was about a +120. I think it's down to maybe 119 or something. That's nutty. You know, they're scoring a lot of runs. I want to take back all the bad things I said about them at the beginning or when they
you take that back, John.
When I was saying that they were having a sluggish start or a bad start or they didn't look good. They look good.
They started out the season the way they played last year, which was winning blowouts and losing close games.
And you know what? You mentioned this. Now when you mentioned the fact that Takuya Nakamura of the Lions, old Kawari-kun, had a boatload of strikeouts, I started to look at them. And you know, they have more strikeouts than anybody in the Pacific League. They have 812. And
they also have more walks than
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Yeah, and the next closest were the Fighters at 781. And that's a lot of misses, but the Lions have the most walks by about 50. 358 to the Fighter, the Hawks, who have 310. So it's incredible what's going on in both leagues in terms of offense. And one more note I wanted to mention on the offense, Ernesto Mejia of the Lions is just mashing. This guy is mashing. He's got 20 home runs in 60 games, and he could conceivably catch Willy Mopeña and win the PL Homer Crown. He's also hitting 323. Pena's at 25.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. So it's just amazing what's going on. Like you said, the race for third place in the Pacific League, which turned into the Central League, is interesting. But I'm just going to watch the offense. I'm going to watch, you know, Mejia, Nakamura, and those guys with the Lions. I don't think, you know, I just think it's going to be exciting to see those guys mash the rest of the season. Because if they're out of the playoffs picture, which I don't think they are.
Nope.
They're just going to be swinging for fences, in my opinion. In September. Well, in September.
If they're out, yeah. Okay, so interesting. Yeah, both of these things are so interesting. So much weird stuff this year. It's such a fun season, and it really enjoying this. Okay, now speaking of seasons and the way the seasons have been going since 2005, we've had Interleague.
Right.
And Interleague was something the Pacific League always wanted. And the Central League never wanted, because Central League teams didn't want to lose these home games where they could get a ton of money selling the TV rights on terrestrial TV for the Giants games, which used to be broadcast every night.
Sounds like a mess.
Okay, but that no longer exists. And because of the labor squabbles in 2004, one of the things to help the Pacific League stay more viable was to have Interleague, which has turned out to be pretty good. I mean, the Central League teams all predicted that Interleague would ruin the world and cause nuclear winter or something.
Right.
And basically, the Central League fans come out to see their teams play, and they come out to see Pacific League teams play their team, and they don't seem to bother. It doesn't seem to mind too much. Their attendance has generally gone up every single year for Interleague. The attendance is not worse, but the schedule is a mess.
It is, and we heard Lasting's Millage earlier this year on the podcast talk about the fact that two games on and then a day off, that two-game series just choppy and makes the season drag out, and the game should be played every day.
Well, yeah, pitcher Brian Bullington and I think Cam Mikolajo, both of the CARP, said the same thing. He says the hardest thing adjusting to Japanese ball is all the off days. Mm. And in Italy, you get off days on steroids. So the question is what to do about Interleague, and they can't get rid of it. And the reason they can't get rid of it is because it was part of the labor agreement to settle the 2004 strike, that and the addition of an expansion team in the Pacific League, who became the Rakuten Eagles.
Right.
So what have we got? We've got the Pacific League, who wants to keep 24 games.
Mm-hmm.
With the first 2 years of Interleague, it was 36 games.
Right.
Six sets of three-game series.
Yeah, home and home 3-3.
Right.
Yep.
And the Central League now is talking about going to an 18-game schedule, which, you know, I think this could work. And I think the way it could work is to have not home and home and switch. You know, this year we play the Giants and next year we play the Tigers, but to have to switch the home and road every year.
Yeah, and that was what their suggestion was. For example, if you're the Yakult Swallows, you would play host to the Nippon Ham Fighters one year for three games, and then the next year you play at Sapporo Dome for three games.
Yeah, that way you get the same opponents. Every team in the league gets the same opponents
right.
in the other league, and it's not unbalanced.
It does take some coordination, though, so that you know each year you know who's going to be playing X number of games at home and X number of games on the road.
Because the road games and home games will be exactly the same.
No, I mean for each year, because if you're playing the teams that you have to play. So if you're going to play this year, you're going to have the Fighters and the Eagles and the Lions at home. Then next year, you're going to have to play
them on the road.
Play them on the road, which means you have to coordinate with the other teams who's playing those teams at home and on the road. Otherwise, you end up with a team that might be playing that wants to play the Fighters at home in 2017, but they can't because you're playing them. Another Central League team. Yeah, I mean, I think it does take some coordination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so, but I like what the Central League is talking about, but I just don't think...
Because normally they're just thinking about, give us let us do what we want and get rid of Interleague.
But I, you know, 18 game schedule, I'm not really sure that that's enough to, like, let's say, determine an Interleague winner. Maybe if they stopped saying, okay, well, this team is the Interleague champion. Maybe
let's get rid of the Interleague championship.
Yeah, if they just say, hey, let's play Interleague and that's that, then I think
of course, the problem with that, the reason that works is because MPB gets money from an Interleague sponsor, Nippon Seime.
Right.
So they have a vested interest in it. And so there's always that other thing. And I'm guessing the teams get money from that. Obviously, the teams, the winner gets money. And probably the first, second, third, fourth place teams probably get something out of that. So there's cash involved too. But the scheduling costs, the scheduling of having the three home series and three road series would make probably make more sense financially.
Yeah. So, but I like what the Pacific League said. I don't know if you saw the comments. One of the Pacific League representatives said, hey, essentially said, don't involve us in your adjustment. And again, I think they're assuming that the Pacific League or the Central League is trying to make some adjustments so that it can compete better. And one of the officials said, hey, look, the schedule is messed up because we have so many outdoor stadiums in the Central League and we had a lot of rainouts. So they just took the get off my lawn approach.
Indeed.
Get out of here with that stuff. Hey, fix your own problem. Don't involve us, you know?
Indeed. Indeed. That, you know, well, that being said, I think it is an issue. And at least the Central League teams are coming up with a real option as opposed to let's cut Interleague to six games.
Yeah, chop it off at the knees, see if it goes away.
Exactly, because we don't want it. We never wanted it. That's what they say about every Pacific League adaptation to improve their business. And then they say that it's the end of the world, and then 3 years later they're doing it.
Yeah, you've talked about this before, how the eyebrows go up and the frowns and the scrunchy faces
Pacific
come
League
around.
Playoffs? Who wants playoffs? Who wants playoffs? And the other four Central League teams are like, we knew. And the Giants and Tigers, shut up. Shut up, you guys. Be quiet. Sit in the back of the bus.
No dessert for you if you keep that up.
Right, no fruit cups.
So, you've talked about that before, how these teams how the leagues differ. And the Pacific League is always – not always, but usually willing to be more innovative and try something new, and the Central League eventually adopts it after scoffing.
Yeah, the Central League. I mean, I don't want to paint the Central League as a bunch of whiners and losers, which is how the Central League used to tends to portray the Pacific League, or at least used to. I think they've gotten off that boat a bit. But the Central League innovation is all about what can we do, what can I do for my team that will promote my team. And the Pacific League innovation tends to be, well, okay, what can we do for our team, but also what can we do as a league?
Right.
And that in the Central League is something that is entirely lacking.
Yeah, I think so. All right, quick note, Kazuhiro Wada of the Chunichi Dragons has a broken bone in his right wrist after getting hit by a pitch on Wednesday. Now he's 15 hits shy of 2,000 in his career. And, you know, I thought he was going to be, my feeling was he was going to be pushed out as a regular next season. And maybe they were going to go with some younger guys or give him the Ramichan treatment. If he got his 2,000 hit, they'd leave him in the, you know, they take him out of the lineup, make him a pinch hitter and all that stuff. And we'll have to see what happens. But since he's gotten hurt and he's got to have his wrist immobilized for 4 to 6 weeks, they said, and then he's going to try to come back. I think if he comes back, it'll be late in September, sometime in there. And I don't know if he can get to the 15 hits that he needs to get to 2,000. So we might be seeing him start next year and be a Ramichan or something like that. But it's unfortunate for him.
It's going to depend on his, you know, on his physical. You know, I think more on his wrist and the layoff that this is going to entail somebody. I had a shocking, you know, when I did the translated the Wada story the other day, I was shocked. This guy's 42. I'm going like, when did this guy become 42? But of course he didn't, you know, he didn't start playing professionally until he was 25.
Mm.
And he then was a bench guy for 5 years.
That's
as he was
time.
A bench outfielder and catcher.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And then Ihara made him a regular, and then he's a, you know, like a 5-time Pacific League best 9 guy and Central League MVP and a deserving Central League MVP.
Definitely.
And I say that in all my Seriously. Humble opinion. Yeah. So do I think he's going to get Ramichand treatment? No, because he's still playing at this level. He was the player of the month in July in the Central League, and I think deservedly so. This guy hits 2 triples a year. This is a guy, when he became a regular, the concern was whether he had to DH because he had bad wheels.
Mm.
This is a guy who's a catcher. Yeah. He's not overly athletic, but he's a heck of a hitter.
Yeah.
And the Dragons will miss him, his bat. But, you know, on the other hand, he's hitting, you know, when I say he's hitting really, really well, he is. But part of that is because he's 42 and, you know, you don't normally expect 42-year-olds to be your team's best hitter. And they've got a bunch of young guys who can pretty much pop the ball right now.
Yeah, I think they can find the production, but we'll have to see.
I think they can. Yeah. I think they can too.
All right, so we also had the monthly top performers announced the other day, and Minoru Iwata, the lefty of the Hanshin Tigers, and as you said, Kazuhiro Wada of Chunichi,
sure,
the Central League one, and then Seiichi Uchikawa and Ryota Igarashi, Rocket Boy of SoftBank, both of SoftBank.
Yes, the former Rocket Boy. Now he's Slingshot Boy.
Yeah, I was going to say Slingshot. I like that.
And he's the night, and you know, and Igarashi's the nicest guy, and he's a wonderful guy to be around. He's always eager, willing to take his personal time to talk with you about and make himself understood. And I like him, and he's a cheerful guy, and he's a quite a good pitcher to adjust at this age and this stage of his career to MPB and be successful. But
I smell a butt coming.
But well, yes, there was a butt there. Yeah. But my question is this: now he won the award because he pitched in 13 games, and it was quite an impressive month. I mean, you know, I'm not downgrading his month. He pitched in – I'm not at all.
No, I hear you.
He pitched in 13 games. He saved, he had 12 holds.
Here, hold this for me.
Part of the joke there.
Hang on to this for a second. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Pitched in 13 – are we ready yet?
Yeah, go
he
ahead.
He pitched in 13 games. He got 12 holds, and the other one he got a save. Okay, so that's about as good as you can get. He allowed, I think, a 1 earned run in 13 and 2/3 innings. So it was a very, very good month. And, of course, you have to ask yourself, usually, whenever a reliever wins an award, mm-hmm. and the answer is why? Well, the answer is fairly obvious, actually, because as you know, we go on about the criteria for these monthly honors. Usually, if you're a batter and you hit close to 400, you're going to win. As I said last week, Wada will win because when you hit close to 400 in a month, it doesn't matter how many people you knife to get there. that if you're a pitcher, and when I sort through my monthly data for who's I think is going to win, I basically look for guys who won more than 2 games and lost fewer than 2.
Right.
So you get into 3-1, 4-0 guys, 4-1 guys, like Iwata was 4-1. The Pacific League, we had one guy, Chihiro Kaneko, who was out the second half of the month. He only pitched 21 innings, which isn't much better than – he had 3 wins. He was 3-0 in 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy we said, and I think who should have won, was a pitcher who only won 2 games. He was 2-0, but he had a 0.93 ERA in 29 games. Who was Shohei Ohtani? And
29 games?
29 innings. He pitched in 5 games or 4 games. So my question is this, and this usually is the. You know, this is what I do for these MVP questions in kind of a different context. If this guy had 6 months like this, if these two guys had 6 months identical to these, so if you had, let's say, if you had a reliever who had 72 holds and 6 saves over 70 innings in a season,
mm-hmm.
or you can have a starter who goes 12-0 with a 0.93 ERA and 264 strikeouts. over 173 innings. Which of those guys is the first guy you're going to sign up if you're having a new team. The guy's going to get, you know, the guy who's going to do the heavy lifting.
Right.
So why would you give the guy who did 1/6 of that the award over the guy you really want?
Because
Ohtani didn't
Ohtani
have two.
Ohtani only had two wins.
That's one.
It's the bottom line that counts, I suppose.
It's not the bottom line.
That's not the bottom line, though. They're looking at the wrong bottom line.
The bottom line is he didn't have a season that looked like a monthly MVP season.
Mm.
Get your heads out of your butts.
I told you I smelled the butt coming.
I told you that. By the way, I talked to former Pacific League Records Generalissimo Isao Chiba the other day at Tokyo Dome, and I asked him, how do they decide? He says, heck if I know. It was a mystery to me. I have to find out who makes these decisions.
All right.
Maybe it's the sponsor.
All right. Well, yeah, I smelled a butt coming, and a big one arrived, and
yeah. I'm sorry, I put through my big butt out there on the air.
That's all right. That's all right. We're used to seeing it, or we're used to hearing it.
this is audio, man.
We're used to getting it. How's that?
Okay.
We're used to dealing with it. Anyway, again, a reminder.
let's get off.
A reminder, we would love to have you join us on the first JBW Live Cuts event, which will be starting at 9 a.m. on August 24th, Sunday in Japan. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday in the United States. You can do so by, again, joining Google Hangouts on your computer or mobile device, or you can watch live on YouTube, and you can also check out the schedule. It'll be on the Hangouts on air page on Google Hangouts, and there'll be a link there in the coming days, so please join us for that. If you have any questions, please send them to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and you can go to our Facebook page where we'll also leave some links and some information about the event there. And look for us on iTunes. Thank you very much for hanging in there. The producer's giving me the evil eye. It's raining. Darvish is losing. We gotta go. Thank you very much for joining us, and enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.